Hello, everyone. It's pianist Peter Dugan here, and welcome to this week's podcast. This is our annual Where Are They Now program. It's a really fun show, and it's humbling for me. It's when I get to catch up with some of our alums who are now out there making waves as pros in the music world. And this is quite a remarkable group of people you're going to be hearing from. These young artists are most of them are still in their late 20s, and yet they have already accomplished so much, whether that is founding their own nonprofit, winning competitions, commissioning new works. It's really stunning. So, plus it goes without saying that their performances are just beautiful. So there's a lot of great music coming your way. As a reminder, if you like what you hear today, please remember that From the Top is a small independent nonprofit. So if you'd consider making a contribution to our efforts at fromthetop.org, we certainly would appreciate that very much. I think you're going to enjoy the show a lot. So let's get started. Here it is.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, pianist Peter Dugan.
Thanks, Joanne, and welcome, my friends, to today's show. Now, occasionally, the team at From the Top gets a little wistful. We think about the youngins who've come on our show and how they've grown up big and strong and gone off to college, become independent, and we all sigh. Ah, time. But then we pick ourselves up and decide to make a Where Are They Now show, just to call those alums and reconnect. So that's what today's program is all about. Where are they now? We're reconnecting with alumni, hearing the incredible music they've been making these days, and chatting a little bit with them too. First up, it's pianist Lindsay Garretson, who came on the program when she was just 12 years old, way back in the show's very first year. She's gone on to win multiple international competitions, to perform with some of the world's finest orchestras, and most recently, she's come out with a very interesting album featuring the music of Carl Vine. In case you don't know, Carl Vine is one of the most famous Australian composers writing today. Now, Lindsay's album is called Aphorisms, the Music of Carl Vine, and from it, we're going to hear Lindsay play three of Vine's Ann Landa preludes, written to honor a great Australian supporter of the arts. Number 2, Filigree. Number 7, Divertissement. And number 12, Chorale.
Thank you.
We heard alum pianist Lindsay Gerritsen perform the 2nd, 7th, and 12th movements from the Ann Landa Preludes by Australian composer Carl Vine. Those performances are part of an album that Lindsay put out last year titled Aphorisms, Piano Music of Carl Vine. Lindsay, those performances are so sensitive, and the range of color that you bring to Vine's music it's stunning. And I want a lesson from you on that first prelude, because the way you make the piano just sparkle is is incredible and dazzling.
Thank you,
to
Peter.
Say the least. You actually met Carl Vine. How did that happen?
Yeah, that was amazing. Back in 2016, I competed in the Sydney International Piano Competition, and he happened to be a judge.
Sure.
And one of the requirements was to perform a piece by a living Australian composer. And because he's arguably the most well-known composer of piano music there today, a lot of people chose his music, including myself. And yes, it was definitely nerve-wracking.
And he actually loved your rendition of the piece you played, and that led to a very special opportunity for you.
Absolutely. So I had the idea, crazy idea, to ask him if he might be interested and available to write a piano sonata for me. So I just sent him a Facebook message, actually.
Nice.
But, you know, he did know who I was, of course, from the competition.
Right. So the piano sonata number 4 was born out of your commission. Let's play a little bit of your recording of that, and we can chat about it as we listen.
Okay.
So what was it like when you first sight read through this piece? What struck you about it?
I remember thinking, you know, I love the colors, of course, because I knew that he was going to have an element of that. I loved the how he was using the lower register, especially at the beginning, just this this dense texture.
This is so fantastic. So we're listening to your premiere recording of this piece, but you gave it a very glitzy live premiere on stage as well.
That's correct. I was fortunate to be able to have a solo recital at Carnegie Hall, Weill Recital Hall, last November, 2019. Before the pandemic, I was very lucky to have that opportunity. So I premiered this piece at my Carnegie Hall recital.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Carl Vine's music has been something that you've come to love as an adult, but I'd like to discuss a music relationship that you've had pretty much your whole life. It's with a man named Luis de Mora Castro. Who is he, and what's the story there?
So he's a phenomenal Brazilian pianist and teacher. I had the great fortune of meeting him when I was 10 years old, and he's really been a huge influence on me, both as a musician, a pianist, but most importantly, actually, as a person. Mm. You know, he always gave everything to his students. He was always surrounded by people. Witnessing his humanity in every setting was so powerful.
I think sometimes, you know, those great, rare teachers don't even know how big of a deal it is, you know, for us when we get to encounter them. It's been such a pleasure getting to chat with you, and thank you for those revelatory performances of Carl Vine's music. Just a real treat.
Thank you, Peter.
We were hearing from alum pianist Lindsay Gerritsen, and her album is called Aphorisms, Piano Music of Carl Vine, and it's available on iTunes, Amazon, Apple Music, you know the deal.
If you subscribe to From the Top's podcast, you can download whatever episodes you want and listen on demand. They're available at fromthetop.org. For the last 15 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $3 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Peter.
Thanks, Joanne. The next alum we're going to check in with on today's special Where Are They Now program is cellist Kari Joyner. Kari appeared on From the Top when he was 17 back in 2009, and he's gone on to a musical life that includes touring internationally, winning competitions, and championing new works. Right now, we're going to hear him perform a piece he himself composed. It's off of Kari's 2018 album titled Cello Commotion, and it's called Petrol Music. Thank you. We heard Petrel Music, composed and performed by 28-year-old cellist and From the Top alum Kari Joyner from Atlanta, Georgia. Kari, that piece is so haunting, and it's kind of especially moody because, am I correct in hearing that the lowest string of the cello is tuned down there?
Yeah, so that's one really sort of peculiar but also fascination of mine with string instruments, in particular for cello in general. I love scordatura, which is basically the art of changing the original normal tuning of any one of the four strings. In this case, the lowest string, C string, is actually tuned a half step down to a B. And I love the harmonies that you can create from that low tuning, that low B.
Yeah, I mean, your album Cello Commotion that this piece is featured on, it's just full of these beautiful cello gems.
Thank you.
So,
thank you so much.
11 years ago, you first joined the From the Top family. You were at that time a senior in high school. Where did you go from there? How did you finish out your education?
Yeah, so at that time, 11 years ago when I was a senior in high school, I had a lot of interests even outside of music, including mathematics, and was looking at many schools that had mathematics and engineering programs as a dual degree to music. But I ended up deciding on the Juilliard School.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about your experience there. During the last few months of social unrest and for me, learning from the Black Lives Matter movement, I've been working to try to deepen my understanding of systemic racism, specifically in the world of classical music. And I know that actually everyone at From the Top, you know, we've all been talking about that a lot. And I was told that your perspective, based on your experience at the conservatory as a Black man, is actually quite interesting. I'm wondering if you'd be open to talking about that.
Yeah, so I think, you know, in general, especially for Black musicians, you know, we're aware that, you know, a lot of times we walk into space and that we might be, especially in an orchestra, only one of maybe three, maybe even one of two, especially for string players, musicians that look like us. You know, you start to then, as far as, you know, you find ensembles, you find spaces that then have more people of color and people who are Black to say, okay, well, there is a community here, even if it's not, you know, immediately, you know, visible. And then I took it upon myself to really be involved on campus with diversity initiatives, or just initiatives to kind of really serve again as a spokesperson, even for other students who may come from other backgrounds. And the last thing I'll say about that is also my family. I don't come from a family of very active people in the city in terms of politics, in terms of the civil rights movement, both locally here in Atlanta, but also in other cities. And so I was always, you know, taught and always grew up with this, you know, empowerment and understanding of what, you know, I had to offer as, you know, a Black person, but also just as a musician and through my art form. And I think paying it forward is kind of what I've always kind of really held as a tenet of mine in terms of really saying, you know, there's people that laid the path for me that didn't have the opportunities that I had. So it's only, you know, my duty to kind of now pay it forward and really kind of honor that and give back.
Hmm. And you're doing that in so many beautiful ways. Talk a little bit about more recently in your career, some organizations you've worked with that have allowed you to sort of find this intersection between social change and music.
Absolutely. Yeah. So most recently, I actually was able to come back to do a wonderful production of a piece by Tyshawn Sorey, a Black composer who's now teaching at University of Pennsylvania. And the piece really is about growing up as a black man in America. It's called Cycles of My Being. And that was a really powerful experience with everything that was going on with protests and also just that whole, this whole, you know, past year. It's been a really great time to kind of really realize how art is kind of, you know, really at the intersection of politics and intersection of humanity and public health and everything. Mm-hmm. It was really powerful.
I love to hear of how you're finding those intersections. I think there are a lot of folks who go to the conservatory experience, and once they're in that pipeline, even if they have the passion to get involved in social justice, it's hard to find how to do it. And it's so important to have role models like yourself to show that it's possible. So thank you for all that you're doing.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's From the Top alum and cellist Kari Joyner. His album Cello Commotion is available on Amazon. Pianist Peter Dugan here, and if you're just tuning in, today is our annual Where Are They Now show. And so we're revisiting with some of our treasured alums and hearing the fantastic music that they've been making. Violinist Dory Na appeared on From the Top when he was 14 years old back in 2006. And since graduating from college, he's been performing primarily as a freelancer with some of the most interesting ensembles in New York City and beyond. Of course, during the pandemic, almost all of that work dried up. But for Dory, the pandemic actually hasn't been all bad. In fact, you'd have to say it's sort of been a creative renaissance for him. Before we talk about that, let's hear two recordings that he's made since the pandemic took hold. Granadina from Sean d'Espagna by Joaquin Nin, along with pianist Sean Kennard, and then Cavatina from the Suite for Violin and Piano Opus 3 by Samuel Coleridge Taylor, and that's going to be with Jason Nong on piano.
Thank you.
We heard two pieces performed by alum violinist Dori Na, Granadina from Chant d'Espagne by Joaquin Nin, and that was with Sean Kennard on the piano. And then we heard the beautiful cavatina from the Suite for Violin and Piano, Opus 3, by Samuel Coleridge Taylor, and that performance was with Jason Nong on the piano. Dori, my friend, like a fine wine, your sound has grown ever more velvety and rich these past few years.
Thank you, Peter. I'm so glad to be back on From the Top.
Both of those pieces were recorded recently, actually during the pandemic. Could you talk about what motivated you to record these two pieces in particular, and then how you managed to make it work technically?
So these two pieces I found after the Black Lives Matter protests. I was just so moved by what happened, all the protests. I was just struggling with what I could do to help and play my part. And I thought that through music, I could make a change. So these are the two composers I found, Joaquin Nin, who's Cuban, and Samuel Coleridge Taylor, who's an African English composer. The cavatina by Coleridge Taylor, well, it's one of the most beautiful pieces that I've ever played. And with the Joaquin Nin piece, Granadina, I just love this piece because it's from a collection of pieces called Chants de España, Songs of Spain. I just wanted to travel during the time of the pandemic, but we couldn't. Right. So that was a way to transport musically, at least for a moment.
Mm. This brings me to another topic, which is that, you know, while the pandemic has been hugely tragic for all of us, it's also been a teacher and it's opened up opportunity. And I know that you feel that it's really opened up a whole new side of you. What sorts of changes are we talking about, like from before the pandemic to now?
Well, the funny thing was, when the pandemic happened, I realized actually for the first time that I had so many ideas. So before I was just taking work, I was playing concerts, waiting for emails to come in, but I never actually did my own projects. So first thing that I came up with was the Laidback concerts. So it's a place where I wanted to have that was more casual for the listeners for classical music, hence the name Laidback. I just see it as an exercise of just putting myself out there and trying out my ideas. And that was the first thing, and I'm so glad I did it.
I remember when you were first putting out the Laidback concerts, we spoke on the phone and you were feeling, you know, you had to kind of be vulnerable to put yourself out there like that. Now looking back, do you feel like you're a little bit less afraid of failure now that you've gone and put yourself out there in that way?
I'm still afraid of failure, but now I understand that just putting yourself out there and just going through with it, is something you won't regret, because the failure that you experience is something you learn.
I mean, for what it's worth, I feel like I hear so much confidence in your playing these days. And I'll tell you that I'm not the only one who's been noticing how beautiful you've been sounding lately. Everyone's talking about the new Dori Na.
Thank you, Peter.
Violinist Dori Na, a From the Top alum from New York City. Check him out at dorinaviolin.com.
Daily joy. Couldn't we all use a bit of daily joy in our daily routines? Well, if you sign up for From the Top's Daily Joy video series, you'll have incredibly joyful minute-long music videos delivered to you daily. Sign up at fromthetop.org and cheer up.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from the Volgenau Foundation, supporting programs that conserve natural resources, educate children, and promote classical music. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need. jkcf.org. And from the ECMC Foundation, celebrating 5 years of philanthropy and supporting efforts to improve post-secondary education for underserved students. Learn more at ecmcfoundation.org.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, it's our annual Where Are They Now program featuring alumni of our show and the amazing music they're making in their early careers. Coming up, the award-winning Calidor String Quartet performs the music of Robert Schumann. Pianist Peter Dugan, From the Top's host, is sponsored by Susan and Gerald Slavitt. Peter.
Thanks, Joanne. In 2008, From the Top met Angelica Hairston, a teenager from the Atlanta area who blew everyone away with her performance on the harp and with her charm as a person. After years studying in Toronto and Boston, she's back in Atlanta and making waves now as a leader of two arts nonprofits there. She's the artistic director of the Urban Youth Harp Ensemble, which is primarily an education organization, and she's the founding executive director of Challenge the Stats, which combines music and the pursuit of social justice in a really creative way. We'll hear more about all of that in a moment, but first, some harp music. We're going to hear Angelica perform a piece by Maurice Drawn called Musical Branches, and it's written for three harps, actually. So joining Angelica are harpists Mason Morton and Charles Overton.
Thank you.
We heard alum harpist Angelica Hairston, who was originally on From the Top back in 2008, perform Musical Branches by Maurice Drone. She was joined in that harp trio by fellow harpists Mason Morton and Charles Overton. Angelica, so good to see you again. And wow, what a colorful soundscape you three create in that performance.
Thank you, Peter.
So talk about how this piece came about.
Absolutely. So Musical Branches is actually by a phenomenal African-American composer named Maurice Strawn. And he lives in Detroit. And when this was performed, I actually was living in Boston. And I wanted to put together a little concert called Challenge the Stats. Nothing big, just a fun time to collaborate with some friends, to celebrate Black artistry. And I really was looking for a piece that would showcase three harps together and three Black harpists on stage, which is not something that you usually get to see.
Yeah.
And really challenged the stats from that point, took off after this performance. And so it's a great kind of look back and celebration of where we've come from.
Explain what Challenge the Stats turned into and what it does now.
Absolutely. From that point on, I realized that there was a real interest here. And I found when I moved back to Atlanta that there was still a strong energy in this space, in this niche, this intersection between justice and music. And so Challenge the Stats really grew from one concert that I wanted to create to just celebrate artistry into what it is now, which is a thriving concert series here in Atlanta. We also do community engagement. And really, everything is centered around creating systemic change in our society through the tool of music.
So I know that at the Atlanta launch of the program, you performed a particularly powerful piece.
At our Atlanta launch, we actually focused on the school-to-prison pipeline and thinking about ways that music could have a voice in breaking down that pipeline. And so we commissioned a piece by composer Joelle Thompson called Songs from Prison. And in that piece, Joelle and I collaborated to find the poetry of inmates currently in the criminal justice system. And we took this poetry and set it for harp and for tenor. And so to be able to hear this powerful poetry set on an instrument that generally, you know, socioeconomically causes so many barriers to entry, but to redefine what this instrument is with this type of music and work of art was a really powerful way to make a statement against mass incarceration in the United States.
I'm really inspired by the way that you've combined social activism and music in your life. It's sort of ideal, this balance that you found, and I know it's not easy to do that. Was there a moment when you decided that that's the direction you needed to go?
When I was in Toronto, I was doing my undergraduate degree at the Royal Conservatory, and I remember being so excited. I loved the harp. I loved studying about appoggiatures. I could study all day about Baroque music. And right. I remember being there in a practice room, and we heard the news of the death of Trayvon Martin. And I remember in that moment, I'm sitting in a practice room. I'm working on Mozart. And I just thought, you know, what am I doing? Why does this matter? Why does this music that I'm learning, why should I commit my life to this classical space if I also don't see how my music creates change in the world around me? And so from that point on, I really committed myself to finding this intersection between justice and music. And when I went to Boston and studied at Northeastern, I specifically focused on finding that intersection. And that really was the birth and the launch of what now is Challenge the Stats.
I can't tell you enough how much and how deeply I admire your work.
Oh, thank you, Peter. It's so great to be back again with From the Top, my From the Top fam.
Thank you. Alum harpist Angelica Hairston. You can learn more about her organization, Challenge the Stats, at challengethestats.org.
From the Top is also presenting concerts by our young musicians every 2 weeks on Facebook and YouTube. These are intimate and fun music experiences hosted by Peter Dugan and recorded right from our young musicians' homes. Search for From the Top on Facebook or go to youtube.com/fromthetop.
Pianist Peter Dugan here, and today we're checking back in with From the Top alumni to hear the fantastic music that they're making these days as they navigate the world as professional artists. Two From the Top alums, Jeffrey Myers and Ryan Meehan, have gone on to pursue careers in chamber music. They're both members of one of the most in-demand young string quartets working today, the Calidore String Quartet. Now, this group has serious chemistry, and you'll hear it now in their performance of the finale of Robert Schumann's Third String Quartet, Opus 41. Our alums Jeffrey Myers and Ryan Meehan are the violinists, and they're joined by violist Jeremy Berry and cellist Estelle Choi.
Thank you.
The finale of Robert Schumann's String Quartet No. 3, performed by the Kalidor String Quartet. Ryan Meehan and Jeffrey Myers on violin, Jeremy Berry on viola, and cellist Estelle Choi. I'm speaking to the two violinists of the quartet now, Ryan and Jeff, who both appeared on From the Top when they were teenagers. You guys, it's so nice to be with you, and this is a piece where we hear the sort of obsessive quality of Schumann with those syncopations, and I love how you all capture, you know, the spirit of that movement without ever sacrificing the grounded pulse and the long line.
Oh, thank you, Peter.
You both appeared on From the Top around the same time, playing in, you guessed it, award-winning teenage string quartets. Did you know each other back then?
Yes, actually, Jeff and I met first at the St. Paul String Quartet competition, St. Paul, Minnesota, and his group from Columbus was competing against my group from Chicago, and we met each other, but we didn't really speak because there wasn't much fraternizing with the enemy at that point.
Right. And then did you continue to cross paths in your careers, Jeff, as time went on?
Yeah, actually, just a few months later, we met each other yet again at another competition. This time was the Fischoff Junior Chamber Music Competition. And it just so happened that neither of our groups made it to the final round, so we stayed up very late that night and became very close friends, nerding out about music and violin. And Ryan and I ended up going to the same music conservatory. So, I mean, we just can't get rid of each other.
Well, as you just mentioned, you then went on to form the Kalidor Quartet as undergrads at the Colburn Conservatory in Los Angeles. Jeff, I was told that in the early days, there was one meeting with a PR person that really made an unexpected impact on the group's direction. Can you tell that story?
So we had a meeting with a PR person in LA when we were at the Colburn School. And at that point, we were a very young string quartet, and we enjoyed playing a wide range of repertoire. I mean, from Beethoven to pieces that had been composed in the last year at that point. And this PR person really was insistent that for us, in order for us to be successful, that we really need to find our own niche and really kind of focus in on either new music or a very obscure type of music to really kind of brand ourselves to be successful. And All of us walked out of that meeting just kind of like dumbfounded, being like, that sounds like the worst thing that we could possibly do. That's not what we want to do. We want to play the standard repertoire. We want to play late Beethoven quartets and all this stuff. And we really dedicated ourselves to not kind of doing the exact opposite, and to have somebody tell you what you should do kind of sometimes fortifies what you actually believe in.
Right. Wow. So I want to talk now about your album, the one that features the Schumann we just heard. It's called Babel, and everyone should go listen to it. We know the full Schumann quartet is on it, but can you talk about the other two pieces that are on that album and the overall concept?
Sure. The other two pieces are Shostakovich's Ninth String Quartet and a piece that we commissioned by our dear friend Caroline Shaw. It's entitled Three Essays, and it was really these three essays that kind of launched the idea and premise for the entire album. Caroline uses these three pieces of music to explore the kind of intersection of language and music. So then we looked into the repertoire and we tried to look at other pieces that explore this idea of where words leave off. And Shostakovich immediately came to mind. His Ninth String Quartet was written after a very condemning bout of censorship with the Soviet regime following the premiere of his 13th symphony, Baba Yar. And then on the opposite side of things, we have the Schumann Quartet, which is kind of commenting on the idea that he felt so much love towards his wife, Clara, and he even encodes her musically into the quartet with the opening descending two-note theme that we now refer to as the Clara theme that you'll hear in the beginning of the third quartet.
I love the idea that all of the pieces on this album contain these encoded secret messages. Thank you both so much. It's been a real treat spending this time with you.
All right, thank you.
Jeff Myers and Ryan Meehan, alum members of the Kalidor String Quartet. You can buy their fantastic album by either going to kalidorstringquartet.com or through Amazon, Spotify, iTunes, all the major distributors. Well, I'm afraid it's time to say goodbye. A big thank you to all the alumni performers on the show today, not only for sharing their music with us, but for being a part of the From the Top family. And to you, listening from your home office or from the den, or maybe while you're out in the car picking up a large pizza, you're part of the From the Top family too, and so I thank you for spending this time with us. I'm pianist Peter Dugan. Please join us next week for From the Top.
Today's Where Are They Now episode of From the Top was written and produced by Tim Banker, with music director Megan Swan, production manager Matt Dykman, and assistant producer David Norville. The sound team included Chris Rando, with additional mastering by Dan Hallis. From the Top's executive director is Gretchen Nielsen, and I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Howard and Geraldine Pollinger Family Foundation, committed to nurturing the development of talented emerging artists and sharing the joy that the performing arts bring to life. From Eric and Wendy Schmidt, through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working together to create a just world where all people have access to renewable energy, clean air and water, and healthy food. On the web at theschmidt.org. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. You know, while From the Top is distributed by NPR, it isn't owned by NPR. It's an independent nonprofit, and so we have to do our own fundraising to make it happen. Please consider making a donation to our ongoing entertainment and education programs at fromthetop.org.